The following broadcast is produced by Crystal Key Ministries. To obtain the full broadcast of this entire message, please contact us via email at ordering@crystalkeyministries.com or by calling 914-297-8501. Please remember to support this ministry with your generous donation of at least $10 to obtain the full message on compact disc. Thank you for listening, and God bless.
Hallelujah. Amen. When you come forward, amen, and you worship God, whether it's in teaching or preaching, it doesn't matter, singing, hallelujah, amen, just focus on the Lord because he's in charge of everything. And when you please him, you can ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. So we want to introduce the specialist, amen, the charge of everything that we could ever think of in the name of Jesus. Can we all stand at this time?
Amen. We bow our heads to the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, praise you, glorify your name this day. This day and forevermore, as you give us life, health, and strength, as you are the author and the finisher of our faith.
Yes.
As you have blessed us and we believe the blessing to others. Bless your word as it goes forth in your name we pray. And as your name is glorified above all of the nations of earth, we sing to you as we pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and precious Lord, those in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just want to make a small change to the announcement of the hour. Seminar will be at 3 o'clock, not 2. That was announced.
No.
Okay. It'll be a 3 o'clock. Amen. We know there's a lot of things going on in the world today.
Yes.
The word talks about it. You know, there'll be perilous times, there'll be things that are going on, there'll be all kinds of things that's going to make us disturbed.
Yes.
That's going to upset us. Things that are going to make us lose our focus. I mean, we look at today and it's like, it's already almost the end of September, 2022. And I just celebrated a birthday this past week. No happy birthdays, please. No, I don't know that. But I had to think about the number of years, and it was like, Lord, help me.
Yes.
And help everybody else too, because y'all getting old. All y'all getting old. Turn to your neighbor and say, you getting old.
You getting old.
You
too. Well, I'm not saying I'm not. I tell my kids this all the time. It's like, Dad, you old. I said, may God bless you to live to my age.
Amen.
Okay? May God bless me to not be in a wheelchair, not in a place where people have to take care of me, where I can't talk, where I can't eat, where I'm still this side of the dirt. There are plenty of people that I grew up with, same age, maybe a little bit older, maybe a little bit younger. They are not with us today.
No.
And you have to think about that for some time. I'm not going to be before you very long, but I just want to talk a little bit about maintaining the right focus. Maintaining the right focus. Because everybody is running around. I got to do this. I got to do that. This needs to be done, that needs to be done, just like Martha.
Yes.
But yes, what did Jesus tell Mary? Said, Martha said, she has chosen Mary about, that Mary chose the better part. Yes. We're not going to focus on that scripture too much, but it's just a sample of we can get so easily distracted when we think we're doing the right thing. We think we're doing the will of God. We think we're doing things according to His will. Key words, we think. I told somebody this week, I said, y'all think too much. I said, what do you mean by that? I said, well, it's you thinking about it, as opposed to being led, or as opposed to going according to Scripture.
Yes.
What thus saith the Lord? What does the Lord have to say about it? Amen. I'm going to be in Gospel according to St. John, 21st chapter, starting in verse number 15. And the scripture that's familiar to a lot of us.
21st.
John 21, starting at verse number 15. And sometimes we question God, or God asks us a question, and we don't know how to respond sometimes. It's like, why is the Lord doing this to me? Why is this happening? God often uses circumstances to speak to us. He uses the physical sometimes to draw a corollary or a parallel to the spiritual. God does that because if we were all spirit, then we could understand God directly. We wouldn't need an interpreter, but since we are flesh, we need somebody to intervene on our behalf, and that is why Jesus came to this earth, to intervene on our behalf. John 21, 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Read from the Amplified version, it's going to be a little bit different. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Verse 18. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken thus, he said to him, follow me. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Then this saying went out among the brethren that his disciple would not die. And Jesus did not say to him that he would not die. But if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? And we'll stop right there. Jesus is telling Peter several times, follow me. Never mind the distractions of trying to help God out, because he doesn't need our help. He only wants us to follow him. If we truly love him, you will follow him You will feed his sheep, those in need, those that are doing without. Never mind the distractions, the people over here, well, Lord, they're not doing the right thing. What about this person? This person looks kind of suspicious. They appear to be in the wrong place. Jesus said, if I will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?
That's the Lord.
In other words, if you're not following him, you're losing your focus. You're losing your focus. Why are we here? Why are we sitting in the pews today? We're here to maintain focus. We're here to see what the Word says, and to hear what the Word says, and to see the hand of God moving throughout this nation. Never mind the distractions. Never mind the politics. Never mind, well, they imported all these people from Texas and from Florida.
Yes.
Send them to other states. Says, what is that to you? If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?
Amen.
Talking about the midterm elections, what is that to you? Talking about crime in the streets, what is that to you? Because all these things are designed to make us lose focus. I said this morning that there's a reason why, I don't care what neighborhood you go to, you ever notice all these, especially in the city of New York, not so much in Pennsylvania so much, but if you look to your right, the left, Robinson Turk neighborhood, you see these big, gigantic billboards? Every weekend there's a party. Somebody, you know, some get-together, some gathering, you know, advertising for $25, $30 a ticket, somebody's birthday, somebody this, celebrating that, celebrating because it's Tuesday, celebrating because it's the third Wednesday of the month. There's always something going on. All these distractions. Don't you know, the world itself is a distraction. It's designed to help us to move away from where God has us to be. Everything you see, I don't care what it is. It's a distraction because if you're not feeding sheep, if you're not loving God, but you're paying attention to where you think you're loving God, but yet at the same time, you're worried about this, you're worried about that. Where it says that no man can serve two masters. It's impossible. Who's your master? Don't tell me who your master is, because it'll be evidenced by your service. If you could take a tape recording of yourself and count for an entire week and categorize what it is I'm talking about, put that in two categories. Is it things in the world, or is it the things of God? And if we were to take a count, I would probably say we're more concerned about things of the world. And you know, some people might say, well, we're here. We have to be concerned. Yes, you need to be concerned, but concerned that you need to feed God's sheep because of the world.
Yes.
Concerned because your brother and your sister is doing without. Feed my sheep. Jesus said it three times to Peter. Instead of worrying about what Jesus might mean by all this, he says, lovest thou me? Peter was thinking, yes, I love God. But what about your brother and your sister? You can't say you love God without serving your brother and your sister. It doesn't work that way. You can't focus, well, I'm going to forget about everybody because everybody else gets one. I'm just going to serve the Lord. Really? There's a lot of people out there that are doing things, and throughout history, they've been doing things in the name of God. Some of y'all, a lot of y'all know your history. Countries have been conquests, overrun, and say we're doing the Lord's work. Those of us of African American ancestry, if you look up the history of the Ku Klux Klan, they were saying they were doing God's work. Spanish Inquisition, where they tied people and burned them alive, ran them through, they said they were doing God's work. When they were colonizing the African continent with the Europeans, they said they were doing God's work. We're bringing the Bible to the savages. It's easy to hide behind things to justify behavior. And look, they say, look what we did. We're going into the jungles and we're feeding the natives and so forth. Well, guess what? Right behind those missionaries is what? Slave traders, builders. Because if you feed people, then people are more likely to be appeased. They're more likely to be amenable. They don't realize their freedoms are being taken away. They don't realize that the world has no good for you in store. All these things coming around, these things that are still have yet to be fulfilled where everybody can see them. I've often said this. We talk about Satan comes around as a roaring lion and seeking whom he may devour.
Yes, he does.
But in the last days, I would almost say, and you can't find this in scripture anywhere, but this is what I honestly believe, that when Satan comes, you're not going to recognize him. He's going to be something that people are going to want. That a lot of the churches are going to accept. Because you're going to be so distracted. Oh, we're going to give the church, you know, we enjoy non-profit status. We enjoy this, we enjoy that. Oh, the church is doing a good work, so we're going to make sure the church doesn't have to beg for money. We're going to fund religion. But don't you know that religion is no threat? What we call religion is no threat to Satan. These walls are not a threat. You sitting here is not a threat.
Go ahead.
But when you pray God to God, when you love your brother and your sister, when you fulfill the commandments of God,
yes,
that's when Satan will say, oh wait, what's going on over here? You helping that brother and sister? You don't need to help them. Satan says, I'll help them. I'll put a check in their mailbox.
Jesus.
I'll get them a car. I'll put food on their table. It's been repeated thousands of times for thousands of years. We're living in a time where we need to maintain our focus. We need to retain our relationship with God. We need to realize that if we love Jesus, if we want to do the works of God and the Master, the author and finisher of our faith, if we want to follow Him, we cannot be concerned about the things of the world. Some people are looking for the glory in the dream. Some people are using religion as a cover because they want to be liked. Some people want to use the trappings of society, such as wealth, fame, fortune, being seen good by all people. Want people to talk about them favorably. They want to sit at the head of the table. They want to be in charge of this and in charge of that. Ascribe to positions of leadership, authority, power. Says, well, if I only had this, then I can do that. I've often said that if he gave it to you, you'd run shipwrecked with it. So be careful when you say, well, Lord, if you give me this, then I will do it. No. If the Lord wants us to have it, he would have given it to us. Lord's not going to see his seed baked bread and going hungry. And the Lord does say that the cattle on a thousand hills belong to him, but you know what? You can overuse that scripture too. You can bend scripture to suit your desires. You can bend scripture to suit your fleshly needs. You can say, well, this is what the Bible says. True. But what was the context? Are you quoting scripture to suit your own personal desires? Are you doing the will of the master, or are you just showing yourself more important by quoting scripture? Nothing wrong with quoting scripture, because we all want to be judged in the last days. And we should know that we're going to be condemned by the words that come out of our mouth. We're going to be judged by those things we do. Nobody talks about judgment anymore.
Okay.
Because that's too uncomfortable.
Okay.
That makes people sweat. We need to get refocused on the things of Christ.
Yeah.
We need to stop worrying about all these peripheral things. I'll go back to the prayer that Solomon prayed. And he prayed, Lord, I don't know how to judge your people. I'm just a child. People is too great for me to judge. Who can rightly judge your people? And the word says, because it pleased God so much that he did not ask for gold and silver. But God previously told him, ask me anything you will and I will give it to you. Anything. And because Solomon did not ask for the gold and the silver, he already had enough prior to that. But the things you did not pray for, the things you did not ask for, the thing that God wants to hear, he says, because you did not ask for these things, because you did not lose your focus. Yes, it takes money to do things. Yes, you need clothing. Yes, you need a house. Yes, in today's society, you need transportation. But let's not let that be our focus. We just focus on following him. Follow his will, his plan for our life. And the things he did not ask for, he gave unto him in abundance. I tell different ones, think about what you've been praying for the last 10 years and stop praying for it. I know some of y'all have never heard that before. Stop praying for the things you've been praying for the past 10 years because your focus is on that thing. I told somebody else, it's like, we become so focused on things. We worry about our home. We worry about our car. We worry about paying the rent. We worry about our families. They're all important, but Satan is a master at using humble things to confuse the issue. You'll have your family act up to take your focus off of God. You'll have that car involved in something, in a mechanical breakdown where you don't have enough money to fix it. And that'll be your stressor.
Yeah.
You'll have your boss come to you and say, we know that promotion you were thinking about getting? Well, we got the downsides. And, you know, we have to lay everybody off, the company's closing up, or the department's being absorbed. And we'll give you a 30-day notice to start looking for another job now because this job is not going to be here. Talk about stress. All these things that are there to be distraction. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard. But no one said this walk was going to be easy. No one ever said that the road to salvation was going to be an easy walk. Word says that broad is the road to destruction, and many there be that follow it. But the road to salvation is narrow, and few there be that find it. Because finding the road to salvation takes a little bit of work. Takes a little bit of effort. Takes you getting out of your comfort zone from sometimes, because we may not want to follow everything that Jesus tells us. Lord, that's too hard. Lord says, well, I told you to do this. Why aren't you doing it? He says, well, Lord, if you give me this, and if you give me that, then I can do this. Well, if you tell the Lord that, then you're not trusting him. You give him your criteria for success. You give him your feelings, your desires. But somewhere in there, there's got to be, I'm going to feed your sheep. How can you feed sheep unless you have something to feed them with? I want you to think about that for a minute. You got 1,000 sheep out there, 5,000, 10,000 sheep. Amen. And the Lord says, feed my sheep. Okay, well, Lord, how am I going to feed all these sheep? I need this. I need grain. I need a storehouse to put them in. I need servants to help me. I can't do this by myself. Lord said, I didn't ask you all that. I told you to feed my sheep. One thing I want to hear is, yes, Lord. And the rest will come. You have to touch the heart of God by wanting to touch the heart of people. Amen. How can we serve God who we do not see? And we refuse to acknowledge or to serve man who we do see. We can't say we love God unless we love our brother and sister. It doesn't work that way. It never has, it never will. And I know it's uncomfortable,
yes, the Lord,
for us to come out,
hallelujah,
and say, I gotta love this person. Yes. We don't all love in the same way.
Amen.
We don't all love in the same capacity. But we have to love people. We have to love our brothers and sisters.
Yes.
We have to go out of our way for our brothers and sisters. Because thinking about feeding the sheep, you gotta feed them something good too. You can't just feed them poison. You gotta feed them something nourishing.
Yeah.
So the sheep can grow. You can't serve God by feeding sheep. And it's like, Lord, I don't want to deal with these sheep. They smell. They poop all over the ground. The sheep, get my boots dirty. I thought, Lord, you know how much I pay for these boots? Some of us go through the motions. Some of us just do things because the pastor says so. Stop looking at people. Get your focus on the will of God. Loving people for who they are. And I'll tell anybody this. Loving people is hard. It involves you getting your hands dirty. Imagine a big, nasty mud pie filled with worms and all kinds of icky stuff. You know what? That's the world. God may tell you, you got to put your hands in that mud pie, get all dirty. But you know what? In that mud, there's something in there. In that mud is the love of Christ that says that you are willing to do what other people's will not. God has called us for a purpose, to do the things that others will not do. It's too hard. It's too complicated. I don't know about this person. I don't know about these people. I don't want to be a part of that. It takes too much out of my time, my day. It's not according to how I feel. I'm not comfortable. But if you want to follow him, we have to feed his sheep. In closing, I just want to say, we have to maintain focus. too many distractions out there. There's something going on over here, something going on over there. Downtown, they have an African American Day Parade right on 110th Street, and I think it's 7th Avenue. And there's nothing wrong with celebrating things, so don't get me wrong. We celebrate birthdays, we celebrate anniversaries, there's nothing wrong with that. Where it says, give honor to whom honor is due. Plenty of celebrations that are memorialized in the Old Testament that Israel was commanded to celebrate this. But all that is part of feeding my sheep, because you have to pass that down. Why are you celebrating these things? These things are a reflection of how God has been good to you. As I said, you know, I look at the time as it passes, and you have to look back to the Lord. You know what? It's easy to complain.
Yes.
That's the easy part. Anything and anybody who can complain. But the question is, what are we doing about it? Because when that inward starts to come outward, that's when the flesh gets in the way. All the time. We all have feelings. We all have our pet peeves, our likes, our dislikes. But don't let that become a distraction. Don't let that become a distraction. Because at the end of the day, we have to follow Christ without being distracted. It is my will that he remain until I come. What is that to you? Yes, we can see it, but we don't see it. We are aware of things happening, but they're not going to get between me and God.
Amen.
They're not going to affect my behavior. They're not going to affect my attitude. You know why? Because I'm too busy worried about feeding the sheep. If my focus is directed towards feeding the sheep, then we can all follow God as God has commanded us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
The preceding broadcast was provided as a service by Crystal Key Ministries. The full message is available on compact disc for a small donation of at least $10. Please contact us using email at ordering@crystalkeyministries.com, visit our website at crystalkeyministries.com, or via telephone at 914-297-8501. Crystal Key Ministries is also on Facebook and Twitter as well. Thank you for your support, and God bless.